Hi, this is Pastor Mike Gordon, and welcome to Bethel Brandon Sunday Message. For more information about this podcast and more resources, visit us at bethelbrandon.ca.
All right. My name is Charles. I'm one of the pastors here, and I get the privilege to oversee our children's ministry, Master's Moms, and a few other things. And this morning, we were speaking about peace in our children's ministry in the 6 to 10-year-old class, actually the 2s and 3s and the 4s and 5s. We've been going through the fruit of the Spirit, and if you took a look at the exterior of the class, you would not say there was an ounce of peace going on, that's for sure. It's been raining for the past 2 days, and for those of you that work with children, know what happens when they're cooped up inside for 2 days. They go bonkers. So it was a lot of fun, but there was learning, and there was awesome stuff happening, but it was really cool just to see how the atmosphere in the room changed and shifted when we just prayed and just asked God to bring us peace. Because, I mean, our kids nowadays, they're going through a lot of stuff. I mean, kids are always going through stuff. I know sometimes maybe that's on the back of our mind on things, and they're just facing a lot of things all the time, whether it's family, at school, and things like that. And so it was just powerful just to see them pray and ask God to give them peace, right? And that was really cool. And I'm really glad that you're here tonight, because I just really believe tonight that there are some of you that have been facing or struggling with issues in your life, or maybe it's relationships, or just looking for breakthrough. Maybe it's been months, weeks, years, doesn't matter the timeline, but I believe tonight that there's going to be breakthrough. I really do. I believe tonight that people are going to get healed. I believe tonight people are going to get breakthrough in areas that you've been struggling with for years. And the reason I believe that is because God is God. And he does amazing things and loves to do amazing things. So that's what I believe tonight. And tonight I want to talk to you about perspective. And there's this guy, his name is Wayne Dyer. And he said this is a quote that I thought was really powerful. He says, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. I just want to say it again. When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. It's so true. And I've got a picture up here that I want to show. It's just, there's a handsome young man and a beautiful young girl here. And this girl, yeah, I was a little biased on that. But that girl in the pink pretty coat, that's our youngest daughter, Abella. Now, when I look at that picture, I see a whole lot because I'm her dad, right? I understand my perspective is a little different than yours. And rightly so, that's okay. You're not her parent, and you haven't been raising her together with my wonderful wife for the last few years. And there's all kinds of stories I could tell, all fun, and some of them not so fun, right? If any of you have ever been around toddlers. But my perspective is obviously a little different. Now, I look at that, and I see just a miracle. Now, I'm not just talking about just a miracle in the sense of the idea of birth of life is a miracle. That it is. That's true. But I don't look at her and just see a miracle for that sake. I look at her and see an absolute, complete miracle. And I want to explain to you why. And some of you have heard this story. I'm going to give you the Coles Notes version. We were trying to have another child. And it just wasn't happening. And in fact, I just love the fact that we sang the song, No Longer Slaves. That's my jam. I love that song. I remember actually was going through a really hard time, and we weren't sure if we were going to have another child, and we'd actually gone through the pain of losing a child through miscarriage. And I locked myself in my room, and I was bawling my face off, and I was just playing that song, was on repeat. That was my jam. That was my song that got me through that time, that No Longer Slaves. Fear doesn't have a hold on me, and that kind of stuff. And it was just extremely moving. So that song, obviously, as well, has a lot of meaning to me that maybe it doesn't have as much meaning to you. If it doesn't, well, we're going to have a little chat later because it's an amazing song. I mean that sarcastically. And so the same as Abella has a different meaning perspective to me. Because at 7 months old, we thought, we were told by the doctors that Trisha was possibly going to have a miscarriage. At 15 months, the same thing. At 20 months, there was actually a plan put in place to give her steroids possibly and have an emergency C-section at 28 weeks because there were a number of indicators in their diagnosis that she wasn't going to make it. And then, but every time after these doctor's visits, there would be further testing. And all of a sudden they go, wait a minute, I don't know, but I mean, the tests we did there, and then we did these tests, but everything's fine, right? And it was just absolutely amazing. And then at 36 weeks, Trisha was fighting just this horrible flu, and for the sympathy vote, I was fighting a horrible flu too at the same time. Don't give me any sympathy. It was much worse for her. She was also pregnant at 36 weeks along, and she went, she's like, Charles, I got to go to the hospital. Something's not right. And I was like, okay, so I drove her to the hospital. I feel horrible. This is where all my sympathy points just go away because I dropped her off at the emergency room and drove away. But just to clarify, I didn't just abandon my wife at the emergency room. I had to go make sure that our other kids were taken care of and stuff like that. So I went and did that, and I came back. And remember, I was sick too. Remember that? This has nothing to do with me. And so we got there, and Trisha said, okay, the doctor's been in. They've been doing all these tests and everything and all that sort. And then the OB comes in, and he says, we're going to do an ultrasound. So they did the ultrasound, and they ran some more tests, and they said, he came back in and said, listen, you know what? The baby is severely distressed. What's going on? Her heartbeat is extremely high. She looks like she's struggling. We're going to prep Trisha for an emergency C-section, but I want you to know, like, don't expect much. We're pretty sure the baby isn't going to survive. And so we went into that. Now, along this journey, every time we would get this sort of diagnosis, we were presented with a choice. We were presented with a choice of either taking that to heart and going, okay, I guess that's it. Lord, just pray for comfort or anything like that. And, you know, God, take us through this time. Or we had the choice to go, wait a minute, I understand that's your diagnosis as a doctor. And I absolutely love our doctors. I love our medical community. They're amazing. But when they come to you with a diagnosis with that, I also then go, well, wait a minute. I know someone who can overrule a diagnosis. I have a God that does amazing things. I have a God that has done so many miracles in my life and in other people's lives that I've seen. And I'm trusting and believing in his word and what he says about our daughter. And so I wouldn't say all this to them. I know there's some of you that maybe would, and you'd, that's fine, whatever. But I just said, okay, thank you. And we texted and started calling our group of friends that we had gathered around us to pray with us through this because they've been along this whole journey with us. And we just started praying and declaring. Just declaring that she will have life and have life abundantly. And all these verses that had been spoken to us or we had found and just praying them. And so we went into the operating room and they prepped Trisha. And also at this time, the baby, Bella, was breached. So she was feet first. But as soon as he made the incision and put his hand on her stomach, she flipped around and came out head first, kicking. Well, she didn't just pop out. He obviously pulled her out, but that part would have been cool. And so she flipped around, though, and came out head first. Came out kicking and screaming. Now, there's times you don't want your toddler kicking and screaming, your child kicking and screaming. This is one of those times where you did, right? She came out kicking and screaming, and you could just see the atmosphere changed in that operating room. It absolutely did. And I went with Abella up to the NICU, and while Trisha was getting sewn back up, and the doctor kept saying over in X amount of years, I have never seen that happen. Never seen that happen. You see, my perspective on Abella is different. My perspective on those situations had to change when we were faced with them. When we were given that kind of a diagnosis, we had choices to make. And we chose to go from God's perspective, from a heavenly perspective, than from an earthly perspective. And there's this really cool story in the Old Testament. And it's the story of Elisha and his servant. And just to give you a backdrop of the story, at the current time, the Arameans were after the Israelites. The Israelites always seem to have someone coming after them. You know, I think it's just really a foreshadowing of the enemy, right? The enemy just always seems to be coming after you, right? That's really all his job is to steal, kill, and destroy. So anyways, he was coming after them, and it seemed, though, every time the king had made a battle plan and moved his army into action, the Israelites knew ahead of time. Because actually what was happening is Elisha was hearing from God what the Arameans were about to do, and so they cut them off at the pass every time. He would go and then tell the army, the king of Israel, about, hey, this is what's going to happen. This is where the king of Aram, his army's going to be. And so it got so bad that the king of Aram called his advisors together, and he's like, hey, guys, someone is here as a mole kind of idea. Someone's selling us out. And they're like, no, it's not us. It's Elisha. Every time we're about to do something, he knows ahead of time. And so the king decided, okay, well, I'm going to set a group after him. And so he sent in a whole army, actually, after Elisha. And this is all found in 2 Kings 6. And it's, I'm going to pick up at verse 14. It's in 2 Kings 6. It's from 8 till 23. But I'm going to pick up at verse 14. All this has happened. And this is what happens. He said he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up, so this is Elisha's servant, and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh no, my lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked, and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. As the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, strike this army with blindness. So he struck them with blindness, as Elisha had asked. See, the servant's perspective was different than Elisha's. Elisha saw what was going on. I believe it's because Elisha had faith in that moment and believed that God was with him. I mean, and believed that God had wanted him to succeed. And the servant came out, and the first thing he saw all the army, and then he panicked. I mean, rightly so, really. I don't know what I would do if I was in the same situation. I would hope I'd be like Elisha and all cool, be like, it's all right. You know, just pray for this guy to see what's going on. I know in my life, I'd be lying if I told you that's how I respond every time something, obviously like this has never happened, but something comes my way that is a struggle or a challenge. But I am praying that tonight our perspective would change. I'm praying that tonight that we would even more or more often see through God's eyes than through earthly eyes, right? And in this situation, Elisha said, hey, help him see, Lord. And then he struck the whole army with blindness. So here's one guy who absolutely kidnapped an entire army, all because he had God's perspective. You see, when we become a Christian or are asked Jesus to be our Lord and Savior or explained to the kids as asking Jesus to be your very best friend, right? However you want to say it, you end up getting dual citizenship. Now, what I mean by that is you end up with citizenship here on earth. You're a citizen of earth kind of thing, and then you're also a citizen of heaven. And you see, citizenship comes with privileges and responsibilities. And so what happens is, I'm going to go through and kind of explain this because I think it's important because this gives us actually right and access to having a perspective like God's than a perspective like here on earth or worldly. Does that kind of make sense? Am I explaining that? A heavenly perspective versus an earthly perspective. An earthly perspective is you just see what's in front of you and you're reacting based on that. A heavenly perspective is basically put is you're seeing God from God's perspective. You're seeing through the promises that he's given in Scripture. Those promises like he will never leave you, forsake you, that he is for you. By his stripes you are healed and all those promises. And you're looking that way instead of over here looking at just what's in front of you and basing your actions on that, right? And so our dual citizenship happens when we become a Christian. And if we go over to Colossians 1 verse 2. This is Paul writing to the church of Colossus, and he says this. He says, to God's holy people in Colossus, to the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. So he's saying, they're in Colossus. I might be saying that wrong, so I apologize if I am. It's been a long time since I took my Hebrew class or whatever that I needed to pronounce that right. And he's also saying that they're also in Christ. So they've got this duality going on. They're also here on earth, but he's also saying they're also in Christ. And later we'll go through some scriptures and learn as well that, well, where is Christ right now? He's at the right hand of the Father in heaven, right? So they've got this dual citizenship going on. They've got this dual realm going on where they're here on earth, but they also have the ability of being in heaven. And I want to explain kind of what that means. So, and then in Philippians 3, verse 20, says this. It says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we've got Paul addressing that you're in Colossae, you're here on earth, but you're also in heaven. You've got citizenship in heaven, so that gives you those rights and privileges as a citizen of earth, right? We have a citizen. If I'm a Canadian citizen, I have rights and privileges as a Canadian citizen. And if I have dual citizenship, let's say here in another country, I have rights and privileges when I'm over in that country as well. And so we've got the same thing happening here. You see, Jesus is obviously is our perfect example of this. And I think that hopefully this will help explain where I'm going. Jesus is always the perfect example of everything, right? You know, if you're looking for an example of God on earth, it's Jesus. You're looking for an example of perfection, it's Jesus. I mean, Jesus is always the answer, right? We joke with the kids about that, you know, if you just don't know the answer to a question Pastor Charles is asking, just put up your hand and say Jesus, right? You ever heard that one in Sunday school answer? The perfect one is Jesus. Just say Jesus, right? Because you're never going to go wrong if you say Jesus. You'll never go wrong with Jesus, right? Right? Yeah, okay. You guys are still awake. So Jesus is a perfect example, and we see this happening in Luke 8, 40 to 56. And what's happened here is that Jairus, who is a religious official, so be kind of like a priest or a pastor today, he's got a 12-year-old daughter that is dying. And he throws himself at Jesus' feet and says, Jesus, can you come? Can you pray for my daughter? Can you heal my daughter? And while he's doing that, this is what happens. We're going to start at verse 40. So that's in Luke 8, verse 40. And it says, when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, the synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. And while they were on the way, the crowds almost, or I'm going to skip ahead, sorry. We're going to go to verse 49. And it says, while Jesus was still speaking, someone from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader, said, your daughter is dead. He said, don't bother the teacher anymore. Hearing this, Jesus said to him, don't be afraid, just believe, and she will be healed. Don't be afraid, just believe, and she will be healed. Do you see that perspective change? He had a perspective, he had the opportunity of what was put in front of him to look through it through his worldly eyes of she is dead. And then you've got Jesus over here, sorry, that was this side. You got Jesus over here saying, don't be afraid. You're no longer a slave to fear. I just love that song. You're no longer a slave to fear. Don't be afraid. Have faith and she will be healed. See, that perspective change, it's an impossibility, really, right? How does that make sense? Well, from heaven's perspective, everything is possible, right? And so, following the story, says, when he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. Stop wailing, Jesus said. She is not dead, but asleep. They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, my child, get up. Her spirit returned it at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. I mean, talk about having a completely different perspective about what's right in front of you. Over here, you've got a 12-year-old girl that has sadly passed away. You've got people wailing and mourning. And then over here, you've got a completely different perspective. You've got Jesus telling the father, don't be afraid. Have faith and she will be healed. He comes into the situation. What is his diagnosis? She's just asleep. Obviously, everyone over here is going, Jesus, you're crazy. I mean, they laughed. I mean, that's got to be some boldness. I mean, you're laughing at Jesus. I mean, my goodness. And so he's laughing. They're laughing. And he's like, no, she's just asleep. That is some perspective change, right? Of what is right in front of you, instead of looking at it through this lens, through that worldly lens, he's looking at it through the Father's eyes, going, nothing's impossible. We're just going to pray for her. In fact, all he does is he takes her by the hand and says, get up. I don't know about you, but I've had some struggles in life or some challenges thrown my way, and it just seems like I got to pray and I got to fast for like sometimes months, sometimes years. Took for a Bella to be born, took years. And here Jesus walks in, grabs her by the hand, and says, get up. I mean, wow. I think that's amazing. That's faith in action. That's a heavenly perspective. So I'm just going to walk up, grab her by the hand, say, get up. That's it. Just like that. It's amazing, isn't it? Right? Okay, some of you think so. How about this side? You think it's amazing? Yes. Awesome. It is amazing. This is a heavenly perspective. This is a nothing is impossible for God perspective, right? And Jesus said that we are to follow in his footsteps. He is our example. All right. Now in Colossians 3, 1 to 2, we're given this wonderful command. It says, since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So here again, you see, we're here on earth, but we're not supposed to keep our perspective here on earth. Our perspective is supposed to be on above, on heaven. It's supposed to be through heaven's perspective. So when we're faced with challenges and frustrations, when we're faced with sickness and all of these things, we got to go through heaven's perspective, not through our earthly perspective, right? We got to look and realize that in heaven, the impossible is just everyday living, right? The impossible made possible. That was Jesus' life. If you look through all the many different miracles, what was Jesus' response to those who were sick? He prayed for them and they were healed. What was Jesus' response to the dead? He raised them. What was Jesus' response? It was impossible. He made the impossible possible. And I challenge you that from that perspective and changing your perspective, the things we look at will start to change. The things that we're dealing with will start to change as we focus through his eyes, through a heaven's perspective and not ours. I think the Lord's Prayer is just amazing. It's over in Matthew 6. I love this prayer. This is the one time that Jesus says, hey, this is how you should pray. I always think it's kind of a little bit funny. Not the verse, but it's a little funny that Jesus is teaching them how to talk to him. Do you ever, anybody? Maybe I'm just the only weird one here. Where Jesus is like, hey, this is how I want you to talk to me. Right? Because he's God. He's like, this is how I want you to pray. No, all right. I'm the only one that gets it. All right. If I ever do this message again, I'll cut that part out. All right. But this is what he says. He says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Where does he start? What's your focus? God. Focus first and foremost on God. I mean, he is God. Right? If our focus can be, well, I've got God, the creator of the universe, all right, the Almighty, the King of Kings, the Alpha and the Omega, you go through Scripture and look at the things that God does. Is there anything impossible for him? Absolutely not. So if he is for us, right, who can be against us? So if that is who is on our side, what about the things that we face? Obviously, they're going to get taken care of, right? That is who is on our side. So first, foremost, focus on God. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Again, your perspective changed, going from worldly to heavenly. What's his will? To have those things that are going on in heaven happening here on earth. So when I look into heaven, do I see sickness? No. Do I see disease? No. Do I see all these frustrations? No, I don't see them. Because so then I know then that God's will is for me to overcome. Right? That was a perfect amen spot. Thank you back there. And so next he goes on. He says, give us our daily bread. Right? He's going to take care of us. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into, oh sorry, that part there, living in right relationship with one another. Right? That's an importance. Right? Focusing on God. Focusing on the perspective of heaven to earth. To the kids, we teach it as that's your royal mission. What's a royal mission? To bring heaven to earth. To see the things that are in heaven manifest here on earth. And really, in just preparation for that one day where he comes back and the great judgment happens and then we get to spend eternity with him there. Oh man, that's going to be a good day. But I don't want him to come yet because I know too many people that aren't going to be there. And so give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we've also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That's who our enemy is. Right? Our perspective has to change to realize our enemy is not that person in front of you, beside you. It's not your spouse. It's not that guy in the car that just cut you off and all that sort. That's not your enemy. Your enemy is the evil one. Right? Come on. And so, going forward. And then if, depending on your version, it ends off with, for thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Come on, right? It's forever. He is around forever. His kingdom, his power is going to be around forever. That is God. That's who is on your side. And so if he is with me, who can be against me? I think that's a good verse somewhere. All right. That's a good one. Got to keep that one right there, right? Oh, man. Okay, so 1 John 4, verse 4. Oh, did I warn you that I was going to have a bunch of scriptures? I probably didn't, but that's okay. I've got them all up on the PowerPoint if you don't want to flip back and forth. All right, so you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world, right? That's got to be our perspective. Our perspective has to be the impossible is possible. The perspective has to be from heaven to earth. The perspective can't be from earth to heaven. It can't be what is in front of me. I'm going to take that as face value and react based on that. No, it's got to be, okay, wait a minute. I see what's in front of me. I'm not denying it. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying I'm going to deny that. I'm saying I'm going to take that diagnosis. I'm going to say, thank you very much, doctor. Bless you. But you know what? I know someone who's going to overrule that diagnosis. Right? And going over here, having a heavenly perspective of, listen, I know that's what the doctor said, but I know what God's word says. Right? God's word says, by his stripes I am healed, that I might have life and life abundantly. Right? All those amazing promises. And so I'm going to take that perspective. I remember once I was speaking at I can't remember where it was a place in the community. And it was a service, and I was speaking, and I felt like the Lord led to pray for people for specific things. And one of them, a word of knowledge, was about someone who had lost their hearing due to, like, loud music in a concert. And I was like, man, that's a really weird one. It was challenging for me. I was asking the Lord, you know, hey, challenge me, Lord. You know, I want to grow in gifts of the Spirit and things like that. You know, those scary prayers, right? Like, hey, God, challenge me. And then he does. Amazing how that works. And so here I was like, okay, I'm going to share this. And sure enough, there was a lady there that actually years previous, many years ago, had worked in a bar. And they had bands in there all the time. And through the loud music, she had actually lost some hearing. And so we prayed for her, and her hearing was completely restored. It was absolutely amazing. You see, we had what was in front of us. We could have chosen the earthly perspective, or we could choose that heavenly perspective. Say, wait a minute. In heaven, God has perfect hearing for you, right? In perspective, nothing is impossible. And so we prayed for her, and she was absolutely healed. I remember at that same service, there was a couple other ladies that had lower back pain that had been suffering for weeks and instantly gone. It was just amazing. It was just so awesome to see God move in power, right? And there was, I think, one of my other favorite ones. When I was a young child, we had gotten, our family was in a bit of a financial bind. And so my dad had called our family together and said, okay, we're going to pray. We're going to ask God to help us through this. We have no idea. You know, these bills were more than what we had in the bank. And so we had prayed. And for some reason, I don't know, how many of you are like growing up as kids, or maybe still now, you just love checking the mail, right? I love checking the mail. I was the first one checking the mail. I'd check the mail like 4 or 5 times a day. You never know what might be in there. I was that kid. Like, maybe, maybe the next day. I never gave up. I always check the mail. Whole bunch of times each day. Even now, I kind of get a little excited just at home. Oh, you know, but no one sends letters anymore, you know? Come on. Anyways, and so I decided to check the mail. But here's the thing. It was a Saturday. Mail doesn't come on Saturday, right? And we had already gotten the mail Friday. And I decided to go check the mailbox, and there was a letter in there. It hadn't been there yesterday, hadn't been there Friday, and my dad had opened it up, and it turned out to be a check from the town that we had previously lived in. See, when my dad sold the property, they had forgot to actually annex in a small portion. It was a well on this small little piece of land. I don't remember how it all happened. It doesn't make sense, basically, is what I'm saying. And sure enough, that check had more than enough to cover the bills that were coming our way. And I was like, wow, God, that's just so amazing. It was just amazing to share that together as a family, just to see God's provision, because that's not possible. Like, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, we just like, all right, we're going to cash the check and go for it. I mean, like, who wants to try and figure this one out? God is good, right? Come on, right? God is so good. See, at the end of Matthew, there's this great passage of scripture, and it's called the Great Commission. We call it the Great Commission in the little subheading. And this is one of Jesus' last things that he says to his followers before he is going back to heaven. And here in the Great Commission, this is what he says. Starts at verse 18. This is Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. And he says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. And then he says, therefore, go. You see, if you look at that, it's actually the connection of it. What Jesus is saying, if I can paraphrase, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now I give it to you. I'm delegating it to you. Now go. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And I'm just going to get the worship team to get ready to come up. And I want to close off with this. Jesus said, all authority on heaven and earth have been given to me. Now I'm delegating it to you, and I want you to go. Make disciples and teach them everything I taught you. Now, what did Jesus teach them? Well, he taught them how to work, how to operate from a heavenly perspective. See, Jesus wasn't just doing miracles for miracles' sake. I mean, Jesus was doing miracles to show people the kingdom. He was doing miracles because he was moved with compassion, because Jesus was the kingdom, right? Jesus was the representation of God here on earth. And now he's saying, hey, I want you to be that same representation. I want you to go, and I want you to teach and to do everything that I've taught you to do. And I've taught you how to move in signs and wonders. I've taught you praying for the sick and seeing them get healed. I've taught you how to have that heavenly perspective instead of that earthly one. I've taught you that nothing is impossible. I've taught you that I am with you. I've taught you that you are seated with me in heavenly places, and you can operate from that perspective. And so here's what I want tonight. I want to pray for a couple of things, and then I want to call you forward if you want prayer for more as well. Because I believe tonight that as we pray together that you are going to experience breakthrough in the things that you are facing. I believe tonight, like I said at the beginning, that there are going to be healings tonight. Emotional, physical as well. And so tonight, there's just a couple of things I felt like the Lord highlighted, and I just want to pray for them. A couple of them I feel like maybe are sensitive, and I don't want to necessarily call someone out for that, okay? So I'm just going to include them in my prayer, and then I'm going to ask you to come forward if you would like more prayer for whatever it might be. You need breakthrough in that, and if I could get a few folks, maybe Pastor Mike and Pastor Len and some other people, if you're been on the prayer team before or whatnot and feel moved to come and pray for people and just partner together for breakthrough, right? And just pray for them. Because we want to see people experience freedom. We want to see people experience things from that heavenly perspective. And maybe it's been so long that you just feel like you can't see things from that perspective anymore. And I want to pray for you tonight as well that you would, your perspective would change and shift. That tonight you wouldn't leave here the same. So I'm going to include these things in that prayer, and then I'm going to ask you to come forward. And if you have to go, feel free to go after I'm finished praying and have a wonderful night. But they're going to play a song here, and we just want to pray for you tonight to get breakthrough, right? Maybe you're facing relational problems in your family. Maybe it's a healing you need. And so here's a couple of things that the Lord had highlighted for me, and I'm just going to include them in my prayer. One of them had to do with allergies in the stomach area. The other one had to do with actually the urinary tract. And another one had to do with actually an issue with elbows. It's an interesting mix. But I'm just going to pray for them. And then maybe if that's you here tonight and you want to come up and receive more prayer, or maybe there's something else, whatever it might be, and you want prayer, please feel free to come up. So God, I just thank you so much. Father, I'm just declaring healing over these three things right now, God. I'm also believing that there's going to be even more healings, more breakthrough tonight during the prayer time as the worship team is playing. God, I just pray right now for any allergy that anyone here might have in the stomach, we just command it gone right now in Jesus' name. Father, I just ask for complete wholeness. God, I just pray for complete healing in any urinary tract as well, Father, that they would be fully and completely healed and restored. No infections in Jesus' name. I also pray also for elbows, God, that have been hurt and damaged. I pray for all pain to leave. Father, for cartilage to regrow, Father, and for a complete restoration of movement in Jesus' name. And Father, I just pray also right now that our perspective would change and shift from an earthly perspective, that God, it would be even more heavenly, that God, we could see from your perspective and not from what's right in front of us and react to that. So God, I just know that you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You are the Holy Father. And God, with you, all things are possible. So I just pray you would just anoint us tonight to change our perspective, and that God, tonight as people come forward to pray to get prayed for, God, that you would move powerfully, and I know you will, God. And I thank you so much for our time together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen. Let's continue the conversation online. Visit us at bethelbrandon.ca or follow us on Facebook.